the official Fantasy Premier League podcast on the parallel world of FPL, where Harry and William are definitely on different paths, and Palace could certainly do with a big statement. Today we're counting down to game week 28, asking, as we get our house in order, is it time to clear out the Salah, and who's going to get the Dawson? All that and more in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, Fantasy Manager. Thank you so much for joining us here. We've got game week 28 kicking off Friday evening. Friday deadline klaxon. And here to get us set with our teams for that, who we got? Duncan Alexander of Top Number Crunchers Stats Perform. Hello, Duncan.
Hello, James.
Also with us, former actual professional football player, now writer and analyst, Sam Parkin. Hello, Sam.
Hiya, James.
And representing the FPL family, Sam Bonfield. Currently wearing the dark circles and haunted Lady Macbeth-style look of a woman who didn't captain Kane.
It hurts me a lot, James, I can tell you. It hurts me an awful lot.
I thought you were like Mrs. Harry Kane. Not legally, but, you know.
I think I would like to be Mrs. Harry Kane, that's for sure, Duncan. But I think the reality of the situation is that the double game week fever got me. And the sudden realisation that Kane only had one match, although a really lovely one, but Gundogan had two, what looked like decent opportunities for returns, just got the better of me. And I thought I'll regret it more if I don't captain a double game weeker than I would Harry Kane. So,
well, you know what? One of those City fixtures is still to come. So it could still go in your favour, Sam Bonfield. But one person who did skip a Kane and had a pretty special game week all round so far is Sam Parkin. Hey, Sam?
Yeah, and I'll let you into a little secret. I was all set to triple captain Harry Kane on the advice of Sam Bonfield a fortnight ago, and I forgot to do my changes, and it's played out wonderfully well for me, because not only did I get 84 points with a couple of Man City players to go tonight, but I've got all my chips intact and I'm looking good for that reduced fixture list as well a couple of weeks time.
Look at you, 85 I make it that you got, Sam. Actually, you're up to sixth now, ahead of your bitter rival Kelly Summers, and you're just one point behind your nemesis, Tom Williams. Is very, very exciting. Sam Bonfield, you're in the top 41K. Duncan, you're in cracked badge territory. Although you do still have Man City to play, and you've got our captain yet to play, Ruben Dias. What's the thinking there?
Well, like Sam, I got a bit giddy with the double game week, and I thought, well, Manchester United can't score goals anymore since you got two home games. Dias has started to look a bit of a threat going forward. Captaining Cancelo hasn't really worked, so yeah. One of many decisions that hugely backfired. I mean, talking of chips, like Mr. Parkin was there, I nearly did bench boost for this one, and that would have semi-saved me, because I've got 23 points on the bench, as opposed to my 25 on the pitch.
It's just who's on your bench?
Bruno Fernandes, Aaron Cresswell, Stuart Dallas, who've all got points. I mean, Dallas has only got one. So Cresswell and Fernandes have hurt me. I've got a vote of confidence from myself, but I'm not sure if that means anything. Fans aren't happy. It's, crack badge.
Right. Julien, it was last week on this show, advising people to rest Fernandes, and look how that played out.
Yeah. I normally go against Jules' advice, so again, you know, I've got to learn.
Okay. Not a great game week, but still better than the other part, the other 50% of the FPL family did. Sam Bonfield, how was Lee's week?
Yeah, Lee's not having a great week. Being a Liverpool fan, and from an FPL perspective, not owning Harry Kane at all has massively hurt him. He also, like Duncan, has a bench full of points this week. He's benched Bruno Fernandes and Luke Shaw. We both benched Luke Shaw, not seeing Man City not scoring. So it was a bench full of points, not so many points in his team sheet. I think he's got 25, and a Liverpool loss. So bad week for Lee.
25. Now, I mean, I mention that because it'll be a comfort to any FPL managers who maybe didn't find success this week. Lee did worse than you, almost certainly. Very good. 28 awaits us now. We're going to have a look through the fixtures in a second. Just out of interest, though, how much is game week 29 conditioning the moves you're making at the moment for last one, 27, and the upcoming 28? Sam Parkin, are you? What's your approach here?
No, I've really had an eye on game week 29, and my substitutions this week will be in preparation for that, even though there's, I suppose, some nice options now with the likes of Gareth Bale back in form and Aubameyang as well, to name just two, especially with the dip in form for Fernandes and Salah. So I'm really tempted to get those two in my side, but I'm actually just going to be building from some of the lesser Premier League sides that have got quite appealing fixtures in that reduced game week.
All right, well, we'll be talking about all of that later on, the game week 29 approach, looking at some of the listeners' ideas on that. We'll be discussing what to do about Mo Salah as well. A lot of managers taking action over the Egyptian in the last week. He's the most sold player currently in the build-up to game week 28. Anyway, let's have a look at what awaits us from Friday onwards this weekend in Fantasy Premier League. Game week 28, here's the games. Friday night, it begins with a Newcastle-Aston Villa, potentially another clean sheet, perhaps, for Martinez and company. Saturday gets underway with Leeds-Chelsea. Then you've got Palace-West Brom. Zaha is back, Claxon. Everton-Burnley and the intriguing Fulham-Man City. City have won all of their last 10 meetings with Fulham in all competitions. Sunday, Saints take on Fulham's relegation rivals Brighton. Leicester host Sheffield United before two whopping games. Arsenal-Spurs and Man United West Ham. Monday, the weekend wraps up with Wolves against Liverpool. Four. Duncan, where are you going to be hitting us in terms of moves for this weekend?
Well, Arsenal-Tottenham is the game that jumps out to me because, and everyone can shout, you're an idiot, but I don't have a player from either team at the moment. And these two plucky mid-table sides are looking above them to really move up the table.
Plucky mid-table? Goodness me, Duncan.
I'm basing that on league position, the classic way. But yeah, they're both looking good. And this game, traditionally, is one of the, you know, more reliable big games. You know, we've had a season where plenty of big matches have lived up to expectation. But this one does. Obviously, Harry Kane is the all-time highest goal scorer in this fixture. Gareth Bale's actually got a good record against Arsenal. He's got 5 goals against them. And as we saw at the weekend, is it safe now to say Gareth Bale is back officially? I'm worried about involving him because I feel that it could be temporary, but he does look very good.
What do you think, Sam? That both teams are in action on Thursday night, so there's a potential wrinkle there. But a lot of people making the move, particularly from Salah across to Gareth Bale, is it safe now to invest in the Welshman?
Yeah, he started in each of the last 3 matches now since coming on at half-time in that West Ham game. He's made a massive difference to the way that Spurs are setting out. And I think Mourinho has finally got him to full fitness, which is where he's kind of been working to all season so far. For me, the fact that he keeps bringing him off around the 60-70-minute mark shows how important he now thinks Bale is to the Spurs side. And so I suspect that we'll see him start in every game, but just be prepared that he probably won't play the full 90 minutes each time.
9.4 million he'll cost you, 6 attacking returns in the last 3 game weeks, which is pretty impressive.
He's also been passing really well. He's been kind of spreading the play really well. And I think that takes a bit of pressure off Harry Kane as well. So it's not really a surprise that I think Kane's looking like more of a goal threat now that Bale's kind of actually kind of doing what we thought he would do. And just going back to the fixture overall, this fixture's seen both teams score more than any other fixture in Premier League history. So, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if this was 2-2 or 3-3, I think. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, possibly Tottenham slightly more than Arsenal, but again, with both of them playing in game week 29, I think this is, you know, a good opportunity to get involved with both teams.
All right, so should Duncan get in Harry Kane for a start? Is he a must-have? Sam Parkin.
Absolutely. That said, I think Arsenal's fixtures moving forward are marginally better than Tottenham's if we're looking at a longer look at things. But yeah, I think Harry Kane, I was going to say Son, but I think maybe it's a toss of a coin between him and Bale. But that said, I'm tempted to go for the treble when we do have that Aston Villa fixture for Spurs coming up when not many teams play. So I'm worried about Arsenal's changes more than I am Jose Mourinho, because I think he plays Harry Kane and he plays Son, and now it looks like he plays Bale, irrelevant of the quick turnaround in games. It's just, is there anyone standing out for Mikel Arteta's men aside from Aubameyang? I would have said Saka a few weeks ago, but he's probably diminished in terms of fantasy points in the last few weeks, which is a bit of a concern.
Willian, that's who's standing out. 3 assists in the last 2 game weeks.
The thing is, we saw this at the beginning of the season with Willian, didn't we? That he was really good for the first opening game week and then dropped off a cliff massively. The changes in personnel at Arsenal, there's a lot more rotation there than there has been at Spurs, as Sam rightly said a minute ago. So I think Willian looks like a nice option on paper, but there's probably safer options across the rest of those two teams.
Yeah, just one last little point on the rotation that Sam mentioned at Spurs. It's a bit of a delicate situation because I think if Spurs hadn't have picked up in the league in the last couple of weeks, that they would have really concentrated on the Europa League, because obviously if you win that, you get a Champions League spot. But now that they're not too far out of the mix for the top four, I think at least for this week and possibly next week, they're going to obviously, I think, you know, play the stronger team in the Premier League. So that gives you people a bit of confidence that the big guns will play against Arsenal.
Also in action on Thursday night, Man United, who on Sunday, as mentioned, have that huge game against West Ham. Sam Parkin, first of all, what are you doing with Bruno Fernandes after he surprised a lot of managers by getting that penalty in the derby?
I vouched in the summer to put him in my team and never take him out. And then I listened to, I think, Daniel's story on this very podcast, and I took him out last week.
Wow. It was Julien Laurent.
It was Julien. Julien, the bane
of my... He sabotaged you, Sam.
Fantasy life. Well, it was either Salah or Fernandes. I couldn't hold on to both of them. They've been driving me absolutely mad. So it was a Harvey Barnes and Fernandes out. It was Son and Lingard in, who did both get an assist, return 10 points. But given that I parted with 4 of my hard-earned points, it actually cost me.
You don't have Fernandes, and we can see what everybody else thinks about whether that's something you need to correct. You do have Luke Shaw, though, which has been huge for you.
Yeah, it was basically 3 players this week that did the business. Harry Kane, we've already spoken of, and Creswell, who's been brilliantly consistent, and Luke Shaw getting clean sheets, getting assists, and now chipping in with a goal, which was magnificent. I'd earmarked the Manchester derby for a goalless draw. That's why I kept faith with Luke Shaw, had Stones in there as well, and that's why I felt it was the right decision to move Fernandes. I didn't expect United to win. I expected Manchester City to continue in the same vein. So there was some logic to my cardinal sin-ism, if that's a phrase.
Very much is. What's your plan then for the game against West Ham?
I think it's a bit silly to be too reactive now and bring him back in for one game, considering they don't play. So I'll probably go without. That said, Lingard misses out in this fixture as well, which could be a big hindrance, I think, for West Ham, considering his involvement in everything that's good about West Ham currently. So, yeah, it's a bit of a risk, but no, I'm going to persevere without Fernandes for the time being.
I'm going to bring him back off of my bench, apologise to him profusely, make him captain, and we'll never talk about it ever again. Just on Luke Shaw, actually, that goal was incredibly rare. Everyone has sort of been talking about Connor Cody scoring with his first shot on target in the Premier League, but up until the City game last weekend, Luke Shaw had 36 shots on target in the Premier League and scored once, which is almost more impressive than the Connor Cody thing. Like, to have that many shots on target and only score one. But I don't imagine he's going to go on a sort of spree in the next few weeks, but he is playing so well, and you know, he's become one of the most important players at United, and yeah, it's he's definitely worth looking at.
The issue of him not playing in 29 might condition managers like myself from bringing him in for this game, but wonder what's going forward. As for West Ham, huge numbers for Craig Dawson and Creswell, as you were mentioning, I think, before. Who would you pick out from this fixture, though? Do you see West Ham continuing their success? Man United have had some very questionable results at home.
Just wanted to make the point on this that West Ham scored the most set-piece goals, 14 in the division, and only Sheffield United and Leeds have conceded more than Manchester United. So I think that's enough reason to... Yes, it's daunting to go into Old Trafford, maybe not so much as in previous seasons, but keeping faith definitely with Creswell, and I'm going to have Souček in there as well. And I think there's 5 good options from West Ham moving forward. Those 2 guys, obviously Lingard when he's available, and Antonio and the aforementioned Dawson. So I think a lot of people, including myself, are going to have 3 West Ham players indefinitely moving forward, I reckon.
They play in game week 29, of course. Sam, what are you going to do about this fixture? Sam Bonfield.
Well, I, for my sins, bench Luke Shaw because I did not see the Man City team that we've seen of late not scoring in that game. I thought that derby would be higher scoring than it was. Did play Bruno Fernandes, so happy with that. But Luke Shaw will come back in for me this time around. I think the improvement in West Ham has been significant since Lingard's arrival. He's had a bit of a negative impact on Souček and how forward-thinking Souček is. But of course, he can't play this time around because it's his parent club. So he's not able to line up for West Ham this weekend. And I think that will make a difference. I will still play Aaron Creswell because his attacking potential, as Duncan rightly says, from set pieces is huge. And I don't think that that is changed by playing against Manchester United. I think he could still do really well. So I'm quite heavily invested in this game. I have Luke Shaw and Bruno Fernandes. I have Souček and I have Creswell. So I hopefully it's going to be a high scoring game, really.
I only have Mikel Antonio at the moment from West Ham, and I'm looking to bring in possibly Dawson. We'll see. Maybe Lingard for 29. Should I make moves for West Ham players a week early for this game?
Jesse Lingard is one of the most transferred in players already this week. He's had 460,000 transfers in, even though he doesn't play in game week 28. So if you are in a position where you are planning for 29, don't necessarily need a transfer this week, then it's a wise idea probably to do it ahead of 29 anyway, because you'll likely take a price rise before that game week deadline hits.
Sound advice, Sam. What fixture catches your eye anyway from 28?
It's actually the opening one of the fixtures list for me this time around. Newcastle and Aston Villa, both of these sides play in 29, which makes them increasingly important to us as FPL managers, because making transfers ahead of game week 28, you really do need to be casting your eye forwards 29. Now, neither of these sides have been scoring a lot of goals of late. Both of them actually a bit more solid defensively. Newcastle proved that in game week 27, where Clark was sixth for defenders for BPS in game week 27, registering 8 points, getting two of the bonus points out of that game. So looking like a decent option against an Aston Villa side who have only scored once in the last 3 weeks. So if you look back over the last 5 weeks, they've only scored twice. Now that coincides, of course, with the loss of Grealish, who's been so influential to them. And without him over the last few weeks, they just haven't had that real spark of creativity going forward. It's not that they've been bad. They've had plenty of opportunities. They've just not been scoring a lot of goals. If you take a look at Ollie Watkins' stats for game week 27, he had 6 goal attempts, which was top for forwards in the round. He was second for penalty area touches with 9, second for touches in the opposition half with 42. He's very, very highly owned at 26.6%. So going into game week 29, he's going to be a popular pick and probably one that if you don't have him, it's a wise investment to make a move towards Ollie Watkins. The same with Martinez, of course. He kept his 14th clean sheet of the season in game week 27. Edison is doing better than him. And of course, Edison costs substantially more and has played a game extra.
In terms of Villa assets, not just for this game, but yes, for 29, doesn't it make more sense to go with, say, Martinez and someone like Konsa or Target? Because they are keeping clean sheets at the moment.
They are, yeah. I think the difficulty with doubling up on the Aston Villa defence now, it looks good for game week 28 against a Newcastle side, which have quite frankly been blunt since Callum Wilson's injury. But they do play Spurs in game week 29. Now, that Spurs attack is looking on full force right now. So I wouldn't necessarily bank on a clean sheet from those guys in game week 29. So you want to be looking for somebody that's got some attacking potential as well. Now, we've seen from the likes of Konsa and Mings and indeed Matt Target that there is some attacking threat from those Aston Villa defense. But just don't bank on a clean sheet in game week 29, I'd say. Although you're probably going to get one in game week 28.
All right, then. Now, Mo Salah is the most sold player this week after being the third most capped just last week. He's blanked in 11 of his last 14 appearances, as you know, manager, if you've had him in your team. A lot of people are moving him out, which a lot of other people are almost physically incapable of, given his track record over the last 3-4 seasons in this competition. So we've all got Salah. Are any of us thinking of taking him out? And if so, for whom?
Yeah, I think he scored, 10 of his 17 goals away from home, more assists. And I'm just still of the opinion this has to turn at some point. I mean, he still leads the goal scoring charts. That was my reasoning behind keeping him over Bruno Fernandes last time out. So I think I'm going to stay with him for the Wolves game. I don't think Wolves are pulling up any trees at the moment. It could be very tight, one goal either way, but I'm going to persevere. And then obviously He doesn't feature the following week, and then I'm going to be wildcard in the following week. So I'll wait and see how he performs on Saturday before I make that decision.
One last chance. What about you, Duncan?
No, I've had enough. So he's coming out. It's going to be Bale or Aubameyang, I think, coming in. So I've got to make that decision. But
which should Duncan get? Bale or Aubameyang?
I think Aubameyang.
That's the decision I'm currently making as well.
Why Aubameyang over Bale, Sam Parkin?
I think there's more chance of Gareth Bale being rotated just because he's still probably getting completely up to speed. I know this has been going on for months, but I think there's a chance he may get rotated or pick up an injury as well. So
yeah, that's the bigger fear, I think.
Yeah. So I think we have to hold fire maybe and see how he gets on in the Europa the next couple of games. But I think the fixtures as well, I've looked further afield, I think the fixtures probably slightly better for the Gunners as well.
Sam Bonfield?
I'm struggling with this one. It's definitely a pull of my heartstrings to get Gareth Bale in. I think I'm definitely going to lose Mo Salah this week. I can't see any reason to hold him. Wolves are looking a lot better of late. And as the boys have already said, he doesn't play in game week 29, and I've got my wild card to play after that. So if he suddenly starts to perform, I can bring him back in. The question is it Aubameyang or is it Bale? As I'm already doubled up on Spurs, I'm kind of torn on what to do. I think Bale is the better pick right now. But in terms of spreading the love and covering more of those games across that game week, Aubameyang feels like a slightly safer pick. But the reality is I'm probably going to go Bale.
I mean, there is also the option of getting rid of Salah and Gundogan if you've got him, bringing in Bale and Aubameyang. And obviously you'd have to make a few cuts elsewhere. But, you know, I got onto the Gundogan train way too late. And, I mean, yeah, he still plays tonight, so we'll see. But, yeah, that feels like that one's kind of... He seems to have less opportunities or fewer opportunities when De Bruyne plays. So, assuming De Bruyne is now back, it feels like that brief, glorious summer of Gundogan scoring might be over.
Yep, Wednesday night's fixtures, of course, still to come. So Liverpool will be in action as well. Ahead of that, one of the good bits of news for them over the last 7 days or so is the fact that Diogo Jota was back in the Fulham game. Didn't score, but 6.6 million and the Gundogan-esque little brief summer that he had earlier on in the season after his transfer across from Wolves was pretty special. Is he somebody we should be making plans to re-include, or has Liverpool just got to a point where not even he can turn it around?
Well, he was a nice differential earlier on in the season, so definitely worth having a little look at his form, maybe wait a couple of weeks while he gets back up to speed. But of course, yeah, I think any fresh blood coming into this Liverpool side could have a real positive impact. So definitely one to watch, but not something I'm going to be doing straight away. I'm actually going to be doing exactly what Duncan just brought to the table a few moments ago, the Gundogan and Salah swap for Aubameyang and Bale. That's going to be my substitutions before the following week.
Now, Sam, I know that we're going to be talking about our long-term plans in a second, but you did mention that there was something you wanted to say. This is Sam Parkin on Fulham Man City. So away you go.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the people that own Manchester City defenders should stay strong. I think it's difficult to predict who's going to be playing in the forward line for Manchester City, or he's going to be thriving as a midfield player even. So I'd be a little bit wary of this fixture, just considering Fulham have been so stingy in defence recently, 5 clean sheets in 7. That said, it's only one win in the last 8 home games. They're better on the road, I think, Fulham. They're better when they counter-attack. So I'd expect City to win, but possibly by a narrow margin. I'm looking at Fulham players for the following week, so I may be bringing in some Fulham players for this fixture and benching. But for the, I suppose, optimists amongst us, I think Lookman's a decent shout if you've got a space in midfield. I think he's owned by just 2.4%. 7 goal involvements. He's averaging by far and away the most shots for Fulham, most key passes. In fact, I think it's the 6th most shots amongst all fantasy midfielders, behind the big hitters of De Bruyne, Salah, Mane
and Luke Shaw
and such like. So he's a good shout, I think, Lookman, especially if you're anticipating Leeds Fulham being a little bit more open. So yeah, he's someone to look at, and maybe defensively, given what I've already said, I think Olerena is probably the nicest looking one, considering he's chipped in with a couple of goals and he's only going to cost you 4.5 million. So this is more with a view to moving forward. But I do expect this weekend's game to be tight and maybe won by the odd goal.
Really interesting. As regards who's going to be on the field for Man City, the Pep Tombola, as we like to call it, the key thing is to look at the team that he puts out, Pep, on Wednesday night against Southampton. To what extent can we rely on the fact that anyone rested there will therefore be starting at the weekend?
Given that they play in the Champions League quite quickly afterwards, I don't necessarily think that even a rest against Southampton in the middle of the week means that they'll definitely play against Fulham. Is the problem with buying into Pep's Man City is you never can be fully confident that they're going to start.
Right. OK, then. Let's move on then and check out some long-term prospects in the long view. Now, long view of the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about game week 29. Sam Bonfield has introduced us to the concept of dead-ending your team, building it towards a brick wall of the mostly blank game week, and then wildcarding or what have you for 30 onwards. But for those who are already building for beyond the blank, maybe they're going to be free-hitting for 29, or maybe they've used their chips. Who are they going to be? Who should we be looking at already? I've picked out Chelsea, Saints and Wolves as the ones who have, in the 2 or 3 weeks after 29, the easiest set of fixtures. Chelsea, who of course have been transformed by the arrival of Thomas Tuchel, is unbeaten in the 11 matches he's had so far. Only one opposition player has managed to find the back of Chelsea's net in that period. It is Takumi Minamino on loan at Saints. So they're looking pretty special. We were quite shy, I think, as a collective, FPL managers, of buying into Chelsea because of the rotation up front, the new manager, who's he going to go with? Kai Havertz, I notice, returning big points in Monday night's 2-0 win over Everton. Who is anybody currently looking at from Chelsea?
Well, I bought in Mason Mount for this match week because he's clearly playing very well and Tuchel is starting to shape the team around him and lo and behold, he gets rested for the game. But yeah, I think Havertz is another one. He looked really good on Monday. And it's just, I mean, they're kind of the reverse Liverpool in some ways. They look reliable all over the pitch. You know, Mendy in goal is only 5.1 million. That, you know, he's got 104 points this season. Chilwell's looked okay, but obviously Marcus Alonso has come in and had some really big point scores recently. Even Timo Werner's picked up a reasonable amount of points and looks like he could go on a scoring spree soon. So, yeah, I don't think you can really go that wrong. I mean, I guess, obviously, at the start of the season, everyone was, if you had a Chelsea player, it was invariably Ziyech, because he probably started the best of all their new signings. And he seems to be the one, him and Pulisic seem to be the ones that have not really, you know, been part of the Tuchel revolution so far. So, I mean, possibly they were the two at the start of the season that people would have gone for. So other than them, I think you can't really go wrong.
I completely agree with a couple of the shouts that Duncan said there. I think Mendy is one of the two that you can probably count on being in his side week after week. 13 clean sheets as well. I think with the fixtures that they've got forthcoming, Leeds, West Brom, Crystal Palace and then Brighton, he'd be a great option. And I think Mason Mount, now he's had that rest, when you consider he only didn't play in Tuchel's first game and the last game, and in the middle I think he played 9 straight, more or less 90 minutes, contributed 3 important goals which brought 6 points, and he's waxed lyrical about, you know, what a great lad he is, what a great player he is and what potential he has. So I think Mendy definitely, and I think Mason Mount is a cert to be in that side 9 times out of 10. Unfortunately, not the week that Duncan wanted it.
Alrighty.
Just to back up what the boys have been saying about the Chelsea defence, since Lampard left, the volume of shots in the box that they've conceded has dropped from 6.4 per match to just 3.3 per match. The big chances they've conceded has dropped from 1.6 per match to just 0.5 per match. They've kept 7 clean sheets, only conceded 2 goals since Lampard left. And one of those goals was, of course, that really unfortunate Rudiger own goal. So actually, they've only conceded 1 goal that was scored by an opposition since Frank Lampard left. So the defence is looking like the best option for me right now. And Rudiger, I think, is probably the way I would go just for security and safety of starts.
Mm. All right. Well, they're facing Leeds this weekend, who can certainly threaten, but have been misfiring a little bit of late.
The reverse fixture was probably Chelsea's best performance under Lampard this season. They really you know, Leeds came at them and they played really well. And obviously this game has a lot of significance for fans of both teams. It's a big rivalry from the 70s. So I think Leeds will be up for this. So, it doesn't go against anything any of us have said about Chelsea, but I do think Leeds have got the potential to, you know, to really test this defence. But there's going to be opportunities at the other end for sure.
Well, certainly moving past game week 29... they've got West Brom at home, Chelsea, then Crystal Palace away, then Brighton at home in three fixtures. So that does look very appealing. Saints and Wolves, I mentioned them having good runs immediately after 30. Saints have Burnley at home, then West Brom away, and then Crystal Palace at home. Those names cropping up an awful lot here. Wolves, meanwhile, have West Ham at home, Fulham away, Sheffield United at home, and then Burnley at home. So I don't know, those Wolves defenders who are picking up clean sheets now, is that somebody you'd be kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think if you're wildcarding after 29, I think someone like Connor Cody is a reasonable option. It's just hard with Wolves. They've threatened to go on little runs before the season and not done it. So I'd be slightly wary. But I think if you're completely revamping your side, it's definitely worth looking at, yeah.
All right then, Duncan. Next up, let's check in on what listeners are planning for the big blank, game week 29. This week's Twitter question with the hashtag FPLpod was, how are you planning for the reduced fixture load in game week 29? It'll be nice, actually, to have our choices simplified a little bit. But here's what FPL Adam and Eve say. In many senses, actually, Sam, the original FPL family, of course, will be able to field a full 11, says FPL Adam and Eve, with a -4. But FPL Adam and Eve are concerned about the contradictions. They've got Spurs attack and against Martinez and a Villa defender. They advise that people shouldn't go crazy with taking hits. And you need to think if you'll get all these points back with the players you're choosing. That's a very good point. How many points, in terms of a hit, do you think we should be considering in terms of what's the trade-off there? What, when you're trying to get players out for game week 29?
A lot of teams will not have 11 out this week. Of course, there'll be the free hit teams that do have 11 and have a full working bench as well. But if you think back to game week 18, when we last had a blank game week, the teams that we were expecting to do well, particularly the likes of Arsenal, just didn't turn up that week. And of course, at that point, you end up in a situation where you've taken a lot of hits for players that then don't return. So you have to be fairly confident that the players that you're bringing in for a hit are going to return you points to make up that hit. Now, the fixtures are quite tough for game week 29. There's not really any standout that team is guaranteed to do really, really well. And as a result of that, I'd be mindful of taking too many hits. If you can get 9 players, 10 players out without any hits, I'm probably inclined to just go into the game week without a hit.
Okay. Derek says Kane, Son, Bale, Aubameyang are the early choices for my free hit in game week 29. You lucky thing, Derek. A Kumar, free hit. Oh, you as well. Because I've saved it and I'm going to triple up on Spurs attack and Aaron Cresswell looking dangerous with his assist potential from set pieces. And, adds Kumar, the traditional 3 from Leeds, Dallas, Bammy and Rafinha. Rami, rhymes with, is going to have Kane plus Son plus Bale and suggests that's going to be 30 fat points. Nice one. And Owen lets us know that they're putting out a 9-man team. Good to know, Owen. Yeah, 9 players. I can get to 9 players as long as I don't blow it this week in my FPL transfers for 28, which it's by no means a given. But yeah, I should be happy with 9 players, says Sam Bonville. Duncan, what's your approach?
I need to make quite a lot of surgery. So yeah, as I said earlier, I think Arsenal Spurs players are going to be the focus because A, I don't have any, and B, I imagine they're both going to be pretty good going forward. Although if I'm going to do a wild card, then that doesn't make any sense, does it? So, yeah. I mean, to be honest, do you know what? A lot of people would be like, oh, you got 25 points this week. That's actually good if you think about it, because now I don't worry about 29, because, you know, if I get 20 points in there, I'd be like, it's not that much worse than match week 27.
So psychologically, there, Duncan, I'm not quite psychologically sure.
Sam Parkin, how many players are you going to be fielding?
Yeah, I'm all good. I think I'm going to have a full side. I'm going to make 2 changes this game week. So I'm going to cost myself 4 points and the same the following week. And I've even done a little sketch of my team with some possibles. And I completely agree with Sam Bonfield, actually. It's a really difficult game week to predict, 29, where the points are going to come from. So a couple of the changes I'm contemplating to make this week just to get myself set is maybe a Brighton defender or a Fulham defender, and I'm going to change my goalkeeper. And this is a little bit of a difficult one, really, because Martinez is the obvious choice, but given their fixtures at home to Spurs, I may even go for Sanchez at Brighton or Darlow at Newcastle just for that week before my wild card.
Don't be afraid of picking Martinez, because his save points have been just off the charts this season. From what Sam Bonfield was saying, it could be quite a low-scoring game week, though, 29. So in that sense, it would make sense not to worry about having only 8 or 9 players out there.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, you have to look at the amount of players that are available that week and consider the ownership of them, of course. There are a number of highly owned players. So, Sam, for example, your point about Martinez, whilst I take it on board entirely what you just said about him, for me, at over 40% owned, he is going to be in the majority of teams for game week 29. He also makes a number of saves week upon week, so the chances of him picking up save points are there. My issue with the Newcastle defence is, on paper, it looks like a great fixture, but Dubravka has played the last couple of games, so there's always the chance of rotation there between him and Darlow as to who gets in. So I think I would just stick with the obvious picks for the important ones, the goalkeeper position, that sort of thing, and then look outside that for differentials, like the guys you were suggesting at Fulham, moving forward, because you're going to want to own them longer term as well.
Well, the deadline for this weekend is fast approaching 6:30 this Friday evening, 90 minutes before Newcastle take the field against Villa. So next up, let's check on our plans for transfers and the big captaincy question. Sam Parkin, you've already told us about your transfer plans for this week. Duncan, I know theirs is still provisional because you're waiting for Wednesday and Thursday fixtures. But what have you got penciled in?
Well, it's Salah. I'm waving goodbye. Maybe also Trent Alexander-Arnold as well. So, yeah. But Salah for definite. And then it's, as we said, Bale or Aubameyang. Bale is tempting, but Aubameyang, as we said, feels like the safer long-term option.
It's a quandary, isn't it? Sam Bonfield?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Salah to Bale for me this week. I'm already at 9 for game week 29. So Salah to Bale gives me 10. And then one transfer going into 29 will give me a full 11.
All right, then. And now the big question. Who wears the armband? And not just who, but please can someone give me some advice about how to pick this? Because I am so consistently wrong with my captaincy choices, or at least 7 days out of sync. The players are right, but it's just the wrong game week. Sam Parkin, who are you going with?
Well, considering Fernandes is no longer one of my guys, and he has been my captain throughout this season, really, but it will be Harry Kane, because 38 points has turned me from mediocre also-rans to a Champions League contender. So, nice. Tom Williams, beware. I'm after your spot.
All right. Harry Kane says Sam Parkin. Duncan?
I've got Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, and they're at Everton at home to Burnley, and I'm kind of feels like they could cause some damage. So possibly Richarlison, but then, you know, I did let Bruno down badly last weekend, so he's the possible more safe option.
Okay, interesting now that it is Richarlison who you pick over Dominic Calvert-Lewin. There's been some suggestion that Ancelotti's tweaked the team a little bit to make it more likely that you'll get returns with the Brazilian.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of interchanging a bit more now, and Richarlison was very wide left at the start of the season. But yeah, it's a bit more of a fluid system. And again, Richarlison does tend to have spells where he's good and spells where he's not. But it does, you know, Burnley at home, you'd expect him to get some opportunities.
Okay, that's Duncan's pick as it stands. And Sam Bonfield?
I'm going Harry Kane this week. He's played in 12 North London derbies. He scored 11 goals and got 2 assists in that time. He loves the North London derby. He's going to wear my armband.
Well, there you go. There you go. Excellent. Whatever you're deciding to do, if you'd like any more advice on it, there's loads of great content, as you know, at fantasy.premierleague.com. And you can also see there the thoughts of myself and Jules Breach and our panel of experts on the FPL show, which will be on there probably Friday morning. In the meantime, keep in mind that the deadline is Friday evening, 6:30 UK time. And best of luck with all your planning. Many thanks to Duncan and the Sams for all their advice today, and good luck to you guys as well. And from all of us here, listener, we'll be back next week at the usual time But for now, it's goodbye.